Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live, hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for February the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Dr. Scott Bradley with us, ladies and gentlemen. His collegiate series, To Preserve the Nation, available at freedomsrisingsun.com, along with weekly webinars, thousands of videos, and more. Q&A on the Constitution, weekly, when you're at freedomsrisingsun.com. Spread the word, tell your neighbor, would you please? Dr. Bradley, welcome, sir.
Well, thanks again. Always good to start off a Monday morning with a little rousing conversation.
Amen to that, and boy, do we got a rousing conversation for you today, my friend.
Well, what are you brewing up today?
All right, let me tell you a little tale, and then I'll have you respond. This is going to be, I'm sure you're going to have a fired-up response to this one, my friend. All right, the headline says this from WorldNet Daily. All right. Headline says, Biden resurrecting Obama's policy of killing businesses with rules. So then he talks about Eric Holder, back in the Obama administration, created a project, if you will. It was called Operation Choke Point 1.0. And it targeted industries that the left hates. Bob Unruh for WorldNet Daily, WND.com, writes the piece. And the headline says, the Obama administration is resurrecting an effort that the Obama-Biden administration back in the day dubbed Operation Choke Point, and they target businesses with the banking industry. And what they do is they literally create a choke point. You're not able to bank. You're not able to charge credit cards. Your merchant accounts are gone. Your bank account's frozen. If you're a gun manufacturer. Anyway, the Justice Department in bed with the program. So the Justice Department was in bed with the Obama administration. And now the Biden administration, using the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency and more, an Operation Choke Point, federal regulators literally instructed banks to discriminate against entire industries that the Obama administration did not like, weaponizing the power of banking regulators at the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. All right. Now, they literally used it as a, well, weapon, weaponized banking. This made it difficult, if not impossible, for politically unfavorable businesses such as gun manufacturers, you know, gun distributors or gun sellers, short-term lenders. We go on and name the easy ones to focus on. Anyway, Donald Trump got in office and jettisoned that program. But now, as you know, that Joe Biden overturning everything Donald, now Joe has brought back Operation Choke Point. It's now called Operation Choke Point 2.0. And that means it's coming back with a vengeance and a broader scope, Dr. Bradley.
You know, this whole thing is so sick and wrong at every level. I don't even hardly know where to start. We'll just tick off a few things here. Then maybe we'll pick up on a few things. I don't know. The use of government to destroy legitimate business exercises is not new at all, really. I mean, but it was intended to never be that way under the plan put forth by the American Founding Fathers. The very term general welfare has to do with setting up a situation where government intervention was not to occur, where the government was there to prevent disruption like civil unrest and injustice and phony baloney banking situations and domestic terror and foreign terror and all that kind of stuff. It was there to get the government out of the way and give a chance for everybody to go out and succeed at doing what they could do best. And the problem is that all these things have been going on for a long time in spite of indications in the Constitution that government wasn't supposed to be dinking around with business. I mean, like Article 1, Section 10, is no state shall pass any law impairing the obligation of contracts. You can't get in the way of business dealings. You're not supposed to. You know, the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, the Ninth Amendment says even if we didn't mention a right, we've still got it, which would be to do business, for example, or whatever color shoelaces you wanted, you could choose. Our rights are innumerable, and if even if they didn't mention them, we still have them. The Tenth Amendment says to the general government, if we didn't send you any power, you ain't got no power. And all of these things are bad. But if you look back, I mean, go back to what happened right after 9/11, when the Bush administration was involved. They put onerous burdens on financial institutions that were passed on, of course, and made more onerous, and they continue today, for anybody that wanted to do business with any financial institution. That's just the way they've done it. I mean, the banks and financial institutions have become basically de facto government agencies enforcing government policy with their reporting of things that happen. I'll give you an example here. Probably 15 years ago or so, we had a fire in our home, and there was a substantial amount of damage, and without going into a lot of the details, I got a fairly large settlement check that was to be used to repair my home. Well, it was way outside the bounds of what I normally deposited, and so I had to have an interview. I had to have an interview with the bank vice president before I could deposit that check. Oh, where did you get this, Brother Bradley? I mean, my goodness gracious. You know, it's so appalling to me that they have interjected themselves. I mean, you know, this that one where they bought a whole bunch of firearms and shipped them to Mexico to try and help shut down the way firearms
dealers Operation Gun Walker, or whatever you want to say, right?
Yeah, and then they had the deal where you could, if you hand-loaded firearms, I mean, you know, hand-loaded your ammunition, the BATFE put out a regulation that said basically you're going to have to set up a bunker at home to carry to hold any, you know, little bit of powder you might have there, or primers or whatever. I mean, there's a constant harassment, and it goes back, you know, back if you look in the Declaration of Independence, there were 27 offenses that the king, the Founding Fathers enumerated 27 things the king had done that helped them justify armed revolution against the king. And point number 13, no, excuse me, 10, he has sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. This is appalling. And the power of the general government, they do not have any power, no regulatory power over financial institutions, over drug companies, over the FCC airwaves. I mean, well, I'm using the organization that organizes them, the transportation agencies, you name anything, OSHA, NIOSH. None of the alphabet soups have a constitutional basis, and they have. It is part of this effort to send hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out our substance, and it is absolutely amazing to me. Now, remember back in the Declaration also, you know, we talk about these, you know, endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. A few are mentioned. And then it says it's the purpose of government to secure those rights. And then it goes on to say that the consent of the governed must be obtained before anyone can govern. And those that hold office assume, they act as if, I don't know if they've even thought this far down the road as to whether they're intelligent enough to even know what our founding documents say, that they get the permission to govern from the governed every time an election is held, whether it's fraudulent or not. But however they spin it out, the consent of the governed is not obtained every single election. No, not at all. What happens is we select those that should be trusted representatives, to carry out the responsibilities that they take a sacred oath of office to carry out and keep their actions and efforts within those bounds established. And so our consent was given back at ratification to be governed within the limits and bounds established by our constitutions, whether it's your state constitution or the general constitution. But those that hold office are limited to those particular powers delegated therein, and certainly the Biden administration does not have power to do what it's doing. None of them that established any of these phony baloney pretended laws. Oh, by the way, that is in acts of pretended legislation is in point 13 of the declaration. I mean, it's today's news today, but an executive cannot create legislation. And then the legislature, the House and the Senate, cannot create legislation that exceeds the delegated power given in the Constitution. So whether it's created by pretended legislation by an executive that signs an order that says stroke of the pen, law of the land, a falsehood, a lie, dastardly deeds are being done. So other than that, it's not too bad.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. I don't want to leave this topic alone. I want to drill in even harder. Because Ammon Bundy made an important statement. He said, you know, what shall we do? Talking about how bad the bureaucrats have become and how we don't have opportunities for redress of grievance anymore. We'll talk more about the First Amendment in seconds on your radio relating to Operation Choke Point.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, both hours today, we're talking about the First Amendment being under assault like never before. Wow, we talked last hour with Lowell Nelson about these vaccines. And you literally have a scenario, folks, where manufacturers are shielded from liability. The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund, over $4 billion have been spent by the taxpayers when vaccines are not safe and effective, and that's a drop in the bucket. But they literally deny you your First Amendment right of a redress of grievance, going to court and saying, I've been wronged here, because they literally shield these vaccine manufacturers. So they violate that. Then because it's a secret kangaroo court, they deny you your free speech. They deny the freedom of the press. I mean, it's First Amendment assault under attack like you wouldn't believe. Second hour with Dr. Scott Bradley. Right now we're discussing a similar reality of the violation of the First Amendment like you wouldn't believe. Biden resurrecting Obama policy of killing businesses. Eric Holder's Operation Choke Point. It was 1.0 under the Barack administration. It's now 2.0, resurrected under the Biden administration. And I've often wondered, why would they attack Donald Trump so hard, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, look, Donald didn't even really do that much for America. I mean, don't get me wrong, he did a lot, but nothing that seems to be binding or solid enough. We didn't overturn Roe versus Wade. We didn't get rid of Obamacare. We didn't, I mean, Donald did a lot of good. Don't misunderstand the point, but nothing game-changing. Nothing to turn the car around from the heading towards tyranny or communism or socialism, 180 degrees towards, you know, driving towards liberty. Nothing. That's what I thought. But now when I see that President Donald Trump in 2017, okay, the DOJ, Department of Justice, declared Operation Choke Point formally over. And they created the Fair Access Rule to try to create its demise. The idea was, instead of just blocking huge swaths of people you disagree with, creating massive blacklists to shut people down, you need to try the merits of each situation if you want to challenge someone's access to the banking system. Well, what Obama and Biden did the first time under Operation Chokepoint 1.0 and what they're now resurrecting under Operation Checkpoint 2.0 is this idea where federal regulators, that's bureaucrats under the administration, the executive branch, if you will, under Operation Chokepoint, federal regulators literally instructed banks to discriminate against entire industries, entire groups that the administration, Barack in the first case, Biden in the second case, find objectionable. All right, so Operation Chokepoint bypasses public input and the legislative process, leaving politically unpopular groups, businesses, individuals, nonprofits, all to fend for themselves. Okay, so Donald did something to try to jettison that. Again, Andrew Jackson routed out the bankers. Donald Trump tried to do a similar thing to some degree. This is serious business. And I'll tell you why this is kind of king of the hill when it comes to discussions. Because if they can literally chop off our access to credit cards and banking, and they start with merchant accounts to say business, you can't, you know, receive revenue, whether it be donations for a radio program. I don't know if you know this, but Operation Choke Point even shut down access to the American Family Association. And then they had to fight for another credit card merchant account provider. They got attorneys that sued. Back in the day, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, me and Richard Mack and others, we got chopped off. And it almost destroyed one of our conferences. But an angel investor came and saved our bacon, gave us the money to continue. And then we literally threatened to sue PayPal and we got back our bank account and our funds. But literally this choke point is critical. And it brings up this question, what are we to do that Ammon Bundy asked Scott Bradley? And Dr. Bradley, I want to say this, though. You know, what are we going to do? I mean, if it gets to this level, they have literally declared war on the people, though. If they force us into a cashless society and then they deny your ability to access those funds because you're on a blacklist or generate funds or whatever else, I don't mean to be calling for war, but I don't know that they haven't created a war. We'll have no choice. Am I crazy?
Well, it's crazy to think we've come to this point, but there's so many things to think about on this again. So many elements that are completely sick and wrong, completely off base, unconstitutional. And you know what? It's been happening for so many presidential administrations that people think that it's the norm, but it's not. I mean, Article 2, Section 3 says that the president shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Those laws can be only created by the legislature, again, Article 1, Section 1, within the bounds of the Constitution. And these kinds of things, basically what they're doing with this, I think a case could be made, and a very logical case, that they're creating bills of attainder. They're making criminals out of people by, they're not really legislative action, but they're executive action. They're making whole swaths of society criminals based upon the stroke of a pen that violates everything constitutional. So it violates the Bill of Attainder things, and it violates ex post facto laws because things that were legal yesterday are now illegal today. There are so many things.
But let me be very clear. Hold on. They're not really illegal. They're just deemed illegal by Operation Choke Point, but nobody's in any trouble. In other words, nobody's going to jail. There's no criminal prosecutions or lawsuits. There's just this shutting down of the funds. And the banks are going, we have a blacklist. Right?
They're violating the Eighth Amendment. Thou shalt not steal. They're violating God's commandments. So, I mean, you know, they can say, oh, they do these little nuanced things, and it's going to take, you're going to go to court to get your money back or whatever. It's like a red flag law. They're going to confiscate your firearm, which, you know, we've had presidents now and previously that have supported these kinds of things. Oh, yeah, we're going to confiscate your firearm, and then we'll take care of due process later. No, that is not how the American system works. And so, you know, for decades, and you know I've been involved in this fight to restore our nation for many decades, and I can't tell you how many times I have, you know, from audiences I've been addressing, they, you know, that people have wanted to take their AR-15 or whatever, maybe they even had an M-16, whatever, and run down the streets and have blood in the streets. And I say, no, we can't do that. The Founding Fathers used every effort to avoid a violent revolution, and we have two things they didn't have. I mean, they tried all their petitions and everything else like that. They, you know, they petitioned the king, went on bended knee, kissed the ring, whatever you want to say about it, for decades to try and straighten things out. But finally, they were run out of options, and God endorsed their revolution, ultimately. Now, I've always said we've got to use all of the tools available to correct all of this without going to violence. And two of the things I've always told people that we have, and we still have, if we will straighten things out, we have the United States Constitution, which, if despite the fact we're violating it everywhere, is still an organic document. It's written in plain English. Those words have meanings. Those meanings can be known, and they can only mean what they meant in 1787. So we have the Constitution. Again, it's been set aside by both parties for so many decades. It is horrifically bad. But the other thing I've always said we had was the vote. So we can vote the bums out of office, if you will. Now, my argument has been somewhat diminished in recent elections. And it's coming to a point where, and I think they really would like to have revolution. Because, you know what, I used to tell people, this was in the days F-16s flew with the Air Force. I'd tell them, you may have an M-16, but they got F-16s. And if you've ever seen a smear of napalm, you know that that's a mighty big issue. So at any rate, I think that there are those in power, and it's the Marxist revolutionary concept that they're trying to push for now, is they're trying to push the buttons of enough people to take it to the streets. And then they'll come down with their big hammer. And out of that conflict, which again is Marxist in its origins, I mean, everything Marxist is attempting to create disruption and turmoil.
Yeah,
between
conflict at every turn.
No question. Men and women, race and race, religion, religion, political party. You name whatever entities are out there, and they'll try to create a conflict between them. But out of that conflict, the dialectical, you know, the Marxian dialectical process, they expect to bring their deranged process. Now, they've done it fairly effectively for all these years using false philosophies and educational systems and stealing elections and all those kinds of things. So my argument, we still have the Constitution, which they're ignoring completely. They take a sacred oath to uphold, and the election process, our vote, has been sorely violated. It's just not this last November that this happened. This has been a rolling roadblock, if you will, to freedom for a long time. So we're getting into pretty dire straits right now, and that's what they want. They want the most vulnerable to snap.
We need to remain peaceful, ladies and gentlemen, and not take the bait. There are solutions. We can talk about them as well in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live with Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
United Airlines Flight 328 was carrying 231 people from Denver to Honolulu on Saturday when one of its engines failed, causing debris to scatter across Colorado's capital. The Federal Aviation Administration said Sunday there must be stepped-up investigations of Boeing 777 aircraft that contain the same engine model that failed. That's the Pratt & Whitney 4000 engine. After a month of laying low at Mar-a-Lago, President Trump will make his first speech since leaving the White House. Trump is set to speak at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Orlando, Florida next week. He'll be talking about the future of the Republican Party and bringing to light President Biden's disastrous amnesty and border policies. Vice President Mike Pence declined the invitation. A California mother who vanished on a road trip to Joshua Tree National Park has been found dead, authorities said. Erica Lloyd, 37, of Walnut Creek, has been identified by skeletal remains found in Wonder Valley last month. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
The product that you have given me here is, as far as I'm concerned, sent to me from heaven. I love it a great deal. It's hard to find anything that's real nowadays. I enjoy it immensely. It's making my life so much better. I feel so much better. And during this pandemic, I have no worries whatsoever. My immune system has got to be at a top-notch level. I don't seem to get colds or anything. I don't know what getting sick is anymore. This is so cool.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
The United States has reached a gruesome milestone. USA Radio News' Dan Naraki reports.
500,000 Americans have died of the virus as of Sunday, according to new data from Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Anthony Fauci calls that milestone devastating. The chief medical advisor to the White House tells CNN that the death toll from COVID is something unseen in more than a century. That is why he continues to push for public health measures.
It's really horrible. It's something that is historic. It's nothing like we've ever been through in the last 102 years. Since the 1918 influenza pandemic, people decades from now, Dana, are going to be talking about this as a terribly historic milestone, you know, in the history of this country, to have these many people to have died from a respiratory-borne infection. It really is a terrible situation that we've been through and that we're still going through.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. We are USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, when they take away your guns, when they literally control your currency, you're in trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious, serious business. And we're talking about Operation Choke Point with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website. And in 2017, President Trump got rid of Operation Choke Point. Obama started it. Biden is resurrecting the Obama policy of Operation Choke Point, which really means, hey, they're just going to literally blacklist groups of people and businesses that they don't agree with, that they don't like. And they're going to chop off their money, literally choke point, shut down their merchant accounts, etc. And at first, it's business. Okay, at first, it's groups you may think, oh, that's horrible. I don't like that. But, well, you know, they might be racist or they might be, oh, my gosh, they, you know, they're for the family. They're Christians. They're okay. Even the American Family Association got shut down and had to seek for another credit card company. Okay, this is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. Well, what happens under Operation Choke Point, maybe 3.0, where they just simply say to the average individual, you know what, you're a climate change denier, Dr. Bradley, I'm sorry, but you've been blacklisted, my friend. You cannot access your bank account or use credit cards anymore. Where will this go if we let it be unchecked, Dr. Bradley?
You know, you know me, I like to look backward to see what's coming forward in front of us. And there's always something we can learn from history. And of course, we could talk about the debauchery that happened with American currency, the continental dollar, and so on and so forth. We don't have to go back that far. About 5 or 6 years ago, Pancho Villa was marauding around Mexico. He was a red flagger. He was a communist, a Marxist. Most people don't know that. They thought he was a Robin Hood bandito, but no, he was not. He was a communist. And what he did to completely control the people that he lorded over was he knew that if you had economic freedom, you were somewhat free. And you could find a path to not only success, but prosperity, and ultimately find your way out of the morass that they were in. So what Pancho Villa did, he took control of the currency of Mexico. Mexico's been upside down and backwards since then. And what he did is he implemented a fiat-type currency, valueless money, just like we have in America. We got it about the same time, maybe a little earlier. But at any rate, So he shut down all of the really rich silver mines in Mexico. And without going into how I know this from some of the vestiges of what Villa did, he took away their real, true monetary system and implemented a fiat currency that he was in charge of. He could manipulate and use whatever he wanted to do. And like I say, the people have been really under the thumb of some kind of socialist morass ever since then. And that's basically where we're coming in America. If they completely shut down the semblance of economic freedom we have, and of course there's been a lot going on since the Federal Reserve came into place in, you know, the 1913 Act, and how they have been debauching our currency. And about 99% of our 99 cents out of a dollar have been lost in their purchasing power since they did this thing. But this is another step in that, I believe, wherein they are attempting to control. We can't even do a free exchange. You and I couldn't buy a bicycle from you if they carry this out, because I couldn't hand you what we consider to be cash, but they're Federal Reserve notes. They have no value. I couldn't give you a quarter, a 1963 quarter that was made out of silver, because they want to control every aspect. If you control a man's means of providing for his family, you control the man. And in two Federalist Papers, Hamilton wrote about that. And so this socialist program, this it's really Marxist. Socialism really, and Marxism, it's hard to say what, because Marxism is socialism and socialism is Marxism. It's just whatever degree you've decided to swallow that day. But
Americans are really deceived right now, because they're like, well, we're not the Nazi kind of socialists. We're not nationalist socialists. We're fundamental socialists. And they use another word, acting like there's some kind of a difference in the socialist delivery. But that, again, is one of the great keys to the con game, right?
Oh, no question. I mean, and we could talk about Fabian socialists, for example, that that do our economic stuff. Or you could talk about Gramsci, who wanted a slice of the time Marxism to come on, or you could talk about that national socialism. And the United States really is kind of more inclined towards that fascist view of national socialism, in that what they say is, oh, you can still own your property. And your business and your factory or whatever, we'll just tell you what to do with it. That's what Nazism, fascism is. And so they say, oh, well, you can still pay the taxes on your factory or on your farm or whatever. We'll just tell you what you can grow there or what you can build there. And
oftentimes it starts with, we won't just tell you what you can grow there or not grow there. We'll just give you fake money to not grow. What we tell you. And so a lot of times it's a lot softer delivery, but the outcome is the same, and one leads to the other, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it truly does. And we, what we've done is we've taken our farms out of, you know, production, because we do this crop rotation plan thing where they give you a lot of money to not grow anything. When I was doing my master's degree, there was a older professor there that whose father had been a sheep farmer in during the Depression and the Roosevelt era. And they said, no, you cannot bring those sheep to market, because that will undermine the support that we want to give the sheep market. It will drive the prices down. And this guy's going, "Well, wait, this is what I've raised. I mean, I've got wool, I've got meat, we can help. I mean, there's people starving in the cities, blah, blah, blah." The whole nine yards. It's a longer story than we've got time to hear. But the fact is, the government regulators, these pencil neck bureaucrats, these, well, they were Marxist or fascist or whatever you want to call them, they came out to this professor's father's farm, and they literally didn't waste bullets on the sheep. They drove them off cliffs and in flocks and let them die at the bottom of the cliffs. And, of course, a lot of them had broken legs and stuff. They couldn't move around, but they couldn't get up. They ultimately starved to death or died of pain or whatever. This kind of stuff has happened in America, very similarly to what Stalin was doing to the kulaks in, you know, Ukraine, when he was starving out the landed peasantry. And when he couldn't starve them out, he brought his artillery. Say again?
Is that Holodomor?
This what?
What is that called in the Ukraine? Is that Holodomor?
Oh, well, the kulaks, I mean, there's a number of things I'm sure it goes for. But basically, Stalin said, he bragged about it at the meetings he had with Churchill and Roosevelt. He killed 10 million kulaks in the 30s. And America has done this kind of stuff, and it's a re-implementation of what we're doing here. Whether it's Pancho Villa or whether it's FDR or whether it's Stalin or whomever it is, Hitler, this is wrong. And again, our American founding fathers understood, and they knew that if you got to the point you could control the means of a man providing for his family, you would ultimately and finally control a man. What would you do, Sam? Think about it, and then your listeners need to think about this. If your children were starving, if they had nothing, and they just said, "Will you just sign this little piece of paper here? You agree to these things, and oh yeah, you'll have your ration of food, you know." And it's like, well, but my kids say, "I've got to do this." I mean, think how desperate people become, you know. And this is exactly where we're going in America, and tragically, we're facilitating it by the buffoons that are not worthy of governance. They are unworthy at every level. They're dishonest, they're immoral, they're unprincipled, and there is nothing that they would stop at to, prevent them from going forward and destroying this great land. And unfortunately, we have continued to allow it to happen, and we're complicit because of our complacency, you know? I mean, apathy. We don't know and we don't care. I've been trying to raise this level of awareness for decades, and more people are interested in what's going on in the basketball court or the football field or, you know, the stock market or whatever, than they are to return to the foundation that made us free and happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, how Joseph Stalin starved millions in the Ukrainian famine. It's called Holodomor. Horrible events. Study it. If they chop off our finances, might they do the same to us?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, the Ukrainian famine that Dr. Bradley speaks of was nicknamed Holodomor, ladies and gentlemen. Stalin was evil and literally controlled absolutely everyone's lives to the point where he just literally murdered through famine and starvation so many people. I mean, I'm not saying that the Holocaust isn't true. I'm just saying it makes the Holocaust look small, though. And they did this to the people or the group of people. What do they call again, Dr. Bradley?
Kulaks.
All right. It's just something people need to understand to tie that together, right?
Well, see, here's the thing. What happened is these people were independent landowning farmers. They had the means to produce food for their families. And as been said, you know, it's about as hard to starve a farmer to death as it is to drown a fish, okay? These people would not capitulate. And what Stalin decided he was going to do was he was going to nationalize their farms. He was going to take them from them and put them into the ownership of the state, if you will. And basically, and I mentioned before the break that Hamilton in two Federalist Papers foresaw this and was trying to attempt to keep America from going down a path like this. In the 73rd Federalist Papers, he wrote that a power over a man's support is a power over his will. And in the 79th Federalist Paper, he brought it up again. He says a power over a man's subsistence amounts to a power over his will. Okay, so here's what's happening under whatever flavor socialism we implement, and we are well above our nose line. I mean, we're drowning in it right now in the United States of America, completely contrary to any constitutional principle. There is no authority for a government to own and control the means of production and or distribution. That's the definition of socialism. So whether it's from the barrel of a rifle or from a ballot box or an executive order, they cannot have that. And even we have violated in terms of our federal lands that we hold, you know, whether it's national parks or BLM or whatever, there is no authority.
Or even if they do it from a, benevolent kind of idea, like, well, we got to educate everybody. Thus, the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, government school, steal from your neighbor to educate your children. Or whether it be something like, hey, you own land, I'll pay you not to farm it or pay you to not grow anything on it. Peaceful handing out of fake money, dishonest money. Okay, whether it be soft or hard, the principles and the end result of that road is the same, doctor.
You know, I talk to a lot of different people, and there's one group that I've spoken to extensively lately, and they say, we're out of a soft tyranny now. We're in a medium tyranny. And, you know, this idea of a hard tyranny is still a little bit down the road, perhaps, but we're well on our way. And whether you call it a Marxian kind of thing or a Hitler kind of thing or a Maoist kind of view on things, those that currently rule, and I'm not going to exclusively hang that around the neck of Democrats, because most Republicans, I will look, for example, at Utah's legislature. It's overwhelmingly Republican, but the...
And overwhelmingly socialist.
There's no question about that. It's absolutely absurd what they're doing, and they continue to hand off and they don't hand it off. They shovel it out with great scoop shovels or backhoes or front-end loaders or whatever. Our liberty, and they're handing off things they have no authority or right to do so. And like, for example, the Utah Constitution, the law may only be created by the legislature or the people. There's a process by which the people, through the voting process, can create law. Most places, they can only create law, like in the United States Constitution, you can only create law through the legislature. But the legislature continues to unconstitutionally hand off to the executive, the governor, and the executive branch, authority to make law that's implemented as though it were law on the people in violation of the consent of the governed. And now this is happening just by plain usurpation at the national level by the executive signing orders, and it's happening when the legislature, the House and the Senate, create law and they say, oh, we're gonna turn this over to the executive branch, and they in turn will make the law in the IRS or whatever. It violates the Constitution. They cannot redelegate a power that was delegated to them by the consent of the people through the constitutional process. They either exercise it or they do not, but they cannot redelegate it. That was well understood by the founders. We can prove that with, you know, one of their mentors, John Locke, or Thomas Jefferson, or St. George Tucker. I mean, we could quote at length their statements on how they said, you cannot redelegate a power granted to you, delegated to you, by the consent of the people under the Constitution.
And in Richard Mack's case, where he beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court, Prince Mack versus the United States, it doubled down and said that there are dual sovereigns. The federal government has zero authority to commandeer state and local officials to carry out their bidding by mandate. Right?
And so, not just state and local officials, but how about businesses? You talk about our churches. You think about this. I mean, if banks are enforcing and becoming basically enforcement arms of some government agency, whether it's state, local, or national, or whether you have churches that have capitulated their divine role, if they ever had any, and claimed as directing from God, they're now capitulating and saying they're going to become agents of the government by enforcement of these things, whether state, local, or national. It's just appalling to me.
Very serious, serious things, ladies and gentlemen. So I wanted to bring up this Operation Choke Point. It's now being dubbed Operation Choke Point 2.0 because Trump tried to kill it, but Obama and Biden brought it back. And we're starting to see more and more businesses get literally just shut down. No explanation, they just shut you down. And when you ask them why, they say, well, you violated our terms of service. And then we go read their terms of service, and then we come back and we say, in where have we violated your terms of service? And they just say, no comment. Now the problem
happens with the Facebooks and the Twitters and all of these are porps that we have out there. Everything violates their community standard, but you go, how? I mean, we're just little operators out there, Sam. It's not like the whole world is hanging on our every word, unfortunately. You know, I mean, I say, if people, it's not that we invented these things. God gave us these things, and we're supposed to uphold these things. But anyway, we give this spiel every time we get a chance for people to say, no more. We're going to live up to what we were granted originally. But you know what? We have been finding the censorship on messages that we put out they just shut you down. You violated our community standard. What? How? You're not putting out correct or true, you know, information. Where? I mean, we have subject matter experts that honestly, most of our subject matter experts, and I mean, you and I talking have a lot more brain power than apparently our House of Representatives or our Senate or our President have in terms of being able to understand these principles. But they say, oh, no, this is not the narrative. This is not the script. And so we are being shut down personally. We have experienced that. And it's absolutely appalling to me that this First Amendment thing has been turned the way it has. We protect lewd, crude, and vile speech that is immoral in every case and protected by, quote-unquote, by the First Amendment. And what the First Amendment really was, the First Amendment was set there to protect political speech, to be able to expose things that were happening, and this right of assembly and redress and all this. The idea that you can, put out, I don't know, nude dancing or vulgar barge or whatever is protected to the nth degree by the idiots that have run our courts, but they will, they are blocking, for example, the federal election committees have basically established a program where the incumbent is protected and the upstarts that might get into the process are basically pushed under. The whole thing is upside down and backwards, and we as a people don't understand this.
And
we,
ladies and gentlemen, when they come for your arms, which they're doing now like you wouldn't believe as well under the Biden administration, when they come for manipulating the currency to where they'll just chop you off if they don't like your either your free speech, your freedom to assemble that you might engage in, your religious worship, your freedom of the press, you try to push for a redress of grievance. I think I've named all five fundamental guarantees in the First Amendment. You know, when you go for a redress of grievance, all they simply do is go, you don't have any standing. Or we're not going to judge the merits of the case. We're going to toss this out. I don't even know that a class action lawsuit can stop this because we don't have any money. They've stopped all of our funding. Where do you go?
It's interesting. It's interesting. Back in 1933, when Roosevelt confiscated all gold. See, that's real money. Gold and silver. I mean, thousands of years, you know, people have known there was intrinsic value there, and they've had that. And that's what the basis of American money is, stamped money. You know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, and we can go back through all of that if we needed to. But what happened was he confiscated gold. It became a federal offense to own gold. In fact, that's why when you get a, I don't know if they're still doing it, but it used to be a few years ago that if you signed on for a safety deposit box, you had to assure there would be no intrinsic value money that was stored in it, you know. And so, but if you had gold, let's say I had a few $5 gold pieces and I wanted to go buy groceries or whatever, it became illegal to exchange in gold because of his complete tyranny that he was implementing. It's a, it was a Marxist approach that Pancho Villa understood, and FDR implemented more completely. And we've been down this track for so long now, most Americans have said, well, I guess that's the way it is. What we need to do is realize that it's the wrong way, and we have a way back if we will simply look at our back trail and go back down that trail, pick up the pieces that have been falling off our Constitution, and re-implement them with vigor, strength, passion, in every way, shape, and form. And there is a way back. We don't have to have violent revolution.
Amen.
We
turn to God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen. You turn to God and we repent as a people so that he'll protect us and heal our land. Biblical reality for solutions. Secondly, turn to your family. Prepare, prepare, prepare is the answer when it comes to your family. Work on spiritual healing and spending time together and preparing yourself. You need food. You need fuel. You need shelter, right? You need water. You need clothing. Right, those are some fundamentals that you need. And then when it comes to country, what you need to do is fund radio programs like this, okay? I'm not begging for your money to support my family. I've got a day job, okay? However, you know what? This stuff takes a lot of money, and we need your financial support. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net are the websites for us. Dr. Bradley's website, FreedomsRisingSun.com. But when you donate to us, we'll use every penny to educate about these things. And if we, the American people, allow Operation Choke Point 2.0 to stand, I'm telling you right now, this will eventually become Operation Choke Point 3.0. Right now, it's affecting businesses, and you may feel bad and go, golly, I wish I could do something for them, but they must be the bad guys, or they must be doing something wrong. Eventually, it will become you, and a rude awakening will occur. It won't just be businesses. It will be people. Anybody that does not go along with their agenda will eventually be, you know, herded into Operation Choke Point, ladies and gentlemen. Go read Revelations if you don't believe me, and I'm not telling you that it's the mark of the beast, but I am telling you that they are trying to control us using one, currency to force us in, and then two, to lock us out in a blacklist. They're dividing the people, ladies and gentlemen, and we better be aware of it and stand up now. Donate liberally today, folks. It's the only time we believe in liberalism is when it comes to your donations. Just simply add zeros. We need every penny we can get so that we can broaden our scope and tell the tale of liberty. It is about God, family, and country. We're not negative. We believe in solutions. The solutions are for the American people to turn to God and stand together for the sacred cause of liberty. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.